The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
As I get on the line, Ms. Senior Counsel Israel Khan, the president of the CBA, otherwise known as the Criminal Bar Association. Good morning, Mr. Khan. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Good morning to you and all the listeners, and good morning to Trinidad and Tobago and the Caribbean.
Mr. Khan, on page 9 of our Guardian of Democracy this morning, you have occupied some real estate on that page there, where Khan destroys CJ's portrait, again calls for probe. In going through this story, one would have thought in the past that you wanted his removal from office, coming off the conversation or the judgment from the Privy Council in London. Can you share some insight on this? Remind our listening audience why you are so peeved at the moment as it relates to the Chief Justice and what took place with the judge.
Well, let me back up a bit. It goes beyond that. You'll recall that in 2017, there was an allegation against the Chief Justice that he was using his position to get national houses, that is, for two personal friends who he had an intimate relationship with. And these people were collecting money. They were convicted felons from citizens in order to get the houses. And there were other serious allegations. And the Law Association said that they should trigger a 137 investigation to find out whether the allegations were true, and if he brought the Office of the Chief Justice in dispute. And they got two distinguished jurists from the Caribbean, two former attorney generals, who said that the evidence presented to him by the Law Association was sufficient to trigger this investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, under our constitution, only the prime minister of the country could trigger that investigation. And former prime minister, Dr. Keith Rowley, refused to trigger that investigation. And the reason for it now, ex post facto, not triggering that investigation, he wanted control of the Chief Justice. And that remained there. And now we see that at that time, he had appointed CJS to be a High Court judge, knowing that she had outstanding matters, very serious outstanding matters. One of the matters whereby I, on behalf of the DPP, was prosecuting Abu Bakr, and she did not complete that matter. And he didn't complete due diligence to see how many matters she had outstanding. But she had more than 21 matters outstanding. She had about 52. And then the prisoners started to riot in the various cell and courts, telling the people were charged for murder. They were inside there for 7 and 8 years, and that matter had to start all over again. What the Chief Justice did, he panicked in that he realized that this will impact upon, at that time, Rowley did not decide as yet whether she should trigger 137. And he decided, he hatched a plan on his own, and he influenced the members of the Judicial Legal Service Commission to indicate to her that they will trigger a 137 against her unless she resign. And his office prepared a letter of resignation and forced her and trick her in order to sign that. And he told the president of the country that she resigned voluntarily. Now, three judges of our local court of appeal, found that he coerced her, he pressured her, he tricked her, he unlawfully caused her to fix her signature to that document. That is three local judges. I want to make it quite clear, the three judges who did this, it had nothing to do with tribe and race. One of the judges was what we call a local white, then another was Bureau, African descent, and Sue Horn, Indian descent, because everything seemed to be running on race in this country. So what they did is, the appeal, that is the Chief Justice appeal to the Privy Council, and five law lords. Well, we don't, all the law lords are our former slave masters and colonizers. The white people decided that, look, this Chief Justice committed unlawful act. As a matter of fact, they found out the fact that it was misbehaving public office. Now, misbehaving public office, the country knows by now, is a criminal offense. That is why they have arrested the commissioner of police on an allegation of misbehaving of public office. So why the chief justice is remaining there untouched? So I decided now to call again. I said that the criminal bar association decided to call again. We want an independent investigation in order to find out whether what the Privy Council is saying and whether our local courts are true, that he acted illegally, he forced, etc., etc. And if they find that as a fact, beyond all reasonable doubt, they will recommend that he be removed from office. And that is the gist of the whole story. I took his photo down because I had his photo down in spite I wanted it up for the rest of Chief Justice in my law chamber because he remains the Chief Justice in spite of that. That is only the Criminal Bar Association view. But when the Privy Council and the local court of appeal found the fact that he had misbehaved in public office, and what is good for the Commissioner of Police is also good for him, I decided that his photo belongs in the dustbin, and he's a disgrace to this country. So let me see what the government of the day is going to do, and the present Prime Minister, who was imposed on the country, and that is the right, they can do what they want. The party who has the majority in Parliament can do what they want, how they get a Prime Minister. But he has a sacred duty to tell the people of this country whether he's going to trigger a 137 or not before he asks them to vote for him. And he's not doing that. So this is the whole gist of everything.
Now, let me back it up a little bit. Thank you very much for making... I didn't want to interrupt you because, you know, sometimes when you're doing an interview, the host will try to ask you a question in between. Now, you went through from since 2017. You told the story to the best of your knowledge and what would have been in the public domain and what you understand it to be. Now, is it customary that a magistrate be appointed as a judge? Let's walk me through that process, because here it is, a judge, a magistrate, have 51 to 52 cases pending before her, and she was removed from the magistrate and taken up to become a high court judge. What is the process for a magistrate to be appointed as a judge?
Not only a magistrate, she was the chief magistrate.
That's correct. She was the chief magistrate. That's correct.
And what she did is either negligence or deliberately did not inform the Judicial Legal Service Commission that she had so many cases. So she is not clean. She had fault too. But the Judicial Legal Service Commission should have done due diligence and find out before, not only appointing, before recommending that she took an oath of office. Hold back that appointment until she finished her cases, but they did not do that. The country does not know that this chief magistrate, Cesar Ayres, and the chief justice are very, very close friends. Very close friends. But he decided that since she mislead him, he's saying, he threw her under the bus. He decided to save himself. So the chief magistrate, who was appointed a judge and sworn in, is not totally clean.
So,
as a matter of fact, I had said initially investigate both of them.
So what are you saying? When the appointment or the conversation surrounding this appointment, because it doesn't come like a thief in the night, I would imagine that the Chief Justice and the association would break words with the magistrate in question. Whose responsibility is it to bring to the fore the cases or the matters pending before them? And if there are matters, is it that... So let me ask you again. Is it the magistrate's duty to inform the Chief Justice and the panel, listen, while this appointment I appreciate and I'm willing to accept at this time, however, please be advised that so. Or is it that the Chief Justice and the team supposed to, all right, so we are looking at Israel Khan, senior counsel to Mrekib. What cases does he have? Is there anything? And look at this, investigate these things before appointing. What is the due process?
Well, they hit the nail on the head.
There you go.
Because they would have known, because the chief magistrate is accountable to the Chief Justice.
Mm-hmm.
That come on the judiciary. and all other magistrates who were appointed as master of the court or high court judge indicated that they had so many cases pending. This chief magistrate indicated that she only had about 18 or 23.
So she mislead the panel.
She mislead the
allegedly
chief justice, whether it is deliberately or by negligence, because what she was saying, she asked an officer in the chief magistrate department to put all the parted cases together. But she ought to know the manager there how many parted cases she has. So she is at fault too.
All right.
So when she passed the examination and interview and so on, and is selected to be appointed, what they should have done, the chief justice should have done, is hold back her swearing as a judge until her complete your matters. And after you complete your matters, then your appointment will take place. It's very simple. But they did not do that. So it's both of them to be blamed.
So
the council said she could be investigated also, but they must give her an opportunity to be heard. Why this happened?
So is it that when you get that appointment or that conversation happens, that you can't, could it be a situation where you pass your cases on to another magistrate? Because what I'm getting from you based on the story, you have to see, because that means the new magistrate will have to hear everything again.
Precisely, sir.
Ah.
What they call that in law, once she takes up an appointment, she is functus officio. That means all her parted matters come to an end. A new magistrate, they don't want to demean her witnesses, they don't have their own judgment, they cannot take the former magistrate who was appointed was thinking about the witnesses, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. It had to start all over again. And since it started all over again, the F hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And again, and the Chief Justice didn't want this to be openly come out because the Prime Minister was deliberating whether to trigger investigation against him or to remove him.
Now, based on what we are hearing, right, can the Prime Minister, because we understand that when it comes to because the Prime Minister is saying it's nothing against the Chief Justice, Ivor Archer, he's saying that it's against the Judicial and Legal Services Commission, which is the JLSC, right?
Yes.
Now, he's saying is the Prime Minister wrong? If he's saying it's not against Ivor Archer, I am thinking that Ivor Archer, the buck stops with you. So even... Go ahead.
Yes, I listen. Yes, I listen.
All right. So even if it's the JLSC, who is the head of that? Not the Chief Justice? So for the Prime Minister to make a pronouncement that it's not the Chief Justice, but the committee, is he correct?
Precisely. Once again, I hit the nail on the head. The Chief Justice is what they call primus inter pares, first among equals with all the members. He's in charge of the Judicial Legal Service Commission. He is permanent. The other members of the Judicial Legal Service Commission are temporary. What they are there for 3 years, but he's permanent, and he has a great say over them. And as a matter of fact, he is the only, and he's very efficient and very competent as an attorney. He will know the law. So the buck stops with him. So really, the entire Judicial Legal Service Commission is responsible, but the Chief Justice is also responsible. He's head of the judiciary. So what nonsense the Prime Minister is telling us? He thinks that the people of this country, they are foolish people. So you could tell them that.
Because when we look at it, he says there's nothing before him at this time. Now, just before we conclude our interview this morning, it would be remiss of me if I didn't ask you to delve a little deeper into Section 137, what that states, what it means for the layman on the ground to understand the severity of the situation facing the country, not to mention the embarrassment of the situation facing the country. Because when you look at, we already have complaints against the judiciary and the archaic and draconian time it takes to bring matters before the court and have it cleared. We are already facing situations where it appears as though when you arrest and charge me and take me to court, it's only then you're now looking for evidence to prosecute me. It appears that way.
Well, first, what I want to point out to the country at large, there are people who charge for murder and they are presumed to be innocent. and they are locked up without bail, and they're there for 10 and 15 years, and they cannot get a trial. There are over 700 police killings of citizens in this country, and there are 700 pending inquests to find out whether the police unlawfully killed the citizens or they killed them in acting in self-defense and using reasonable force. And the Chief Justice is in charge of setting up coroners to hear these matters. He did absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. You say 700. And then all these people locked up. Nothing. Nothing is going on. So in relation to the judiciary, it is in a total mess. So having said that, I will explain 137 now. 137, and if there is an allegation of misconduct, as the Privy Council is saying, that you act unlawfully, that you commit an act of misbehavior, and again, misbehaving in public office is a criminal offense. You cannot use your office and act illegally to get rid of somebody. And they know by now, the commissioner of police who is in charge of issuing guns and arms and license to people, they say she ought not to do certain things, and they arrest her and charge her, and they're still deciding whether to charge her. So 137 says only the prime minister of the country should trigger that tribunal, and he will select the members of the prime minister of the tribunal and advise the president for them to investigate. That's what it means. And the present prime minister, he has nothing before him. What is he thinking? That people are so stupid, he will have the Privy Council judgment. All lawyers have that judgment. You see what they're doing. And he said that he acted in, he really had an input in 137, and he's very acquainted with the 137. So why does he want to trigger it? What is happening is they want a Chief Justice who they can control. The one that is also so that can control.
Now, we often hear the, I don't mean to cut you, Mr. Khan, but we often hear these things in politics. I mean, we see it in the movies, we see it. I often tell people about it, but isn't the office of the politician separate and apart from that of the Judicial Legal Services Commission, the Justice Department?
Well, you look like you're a trained lawyer, because that is exactly what has happened, because there's something called the doctrine of separation of powers. That the people who make the laws and the people who execute the laws should not control the people who interpret the laws.
Because when I look at what the Prime Minister is saying, I mean, the Prime Minister is a very learned legal luminary in this country. He's a senior counsel as well. He's now saying...
I support that. He's a good lawyer.
Very good. And he's now saying that he would carefully consider any material which might warrant a probe, and would only make a decision after seeking independent legal advice. So who is he going to go to make this happen?
Well, he can't go to the present attorney general, because she's not a practicing attorney. She's more a politician. So they will source outside lawyers inside Trinidad and outside Trinidad, the Caribbean Commonwealth. But what he must do that before the 28th of April, before he asks the people to vote for him. They want to know what kind of prime minister we will have. Because he could say, look, I get legal advice and I'm doing nothing. And we had the same Chief Justice for another 6 years in there, making mass.
So this Chief Justice, based on your respected opinion, your learned opinion, has erred tremendously in his office. And those errors are so critical and crucial. It doesn't just embarrass the country, but it also borders on criminal misconduct as well.
Yes, so what we have said, we are not saying to fire him, you know. We're saying to set up a tribunal to investigate whether he should be fired. Maybe they will come to the conclusion, having regard to everything that the chief magistrate misled him and so on and all that, this, that, and so on. And maybe they will even come to the conclusion on their own that the chief magistrate should resign voluntarily and they not listen to the Privy Council and they not listen to all local judges. That is their remit. This tribunal. So why are you afraid to set it up? Why? Why you don't want to set it up?
You know, in thinking about what you're saying, I think in doing something like that, it will create further embarrassment to this country, because if you are the head of the JLSC, you are the, as you rightfully mentioned a few moments ago, he is the permanent fixture there. Everyone else, temporary, right? It would seem as though he is very, very incompetent as a leader of this legal body, given the fact that you submitted an appointment, a name for an appointment, without due diligence. You can't be so friend and buddy. So what was the thinking that the persons, the 52 cases that the chief magistrate was currently sitting on, that it would have just gone under the table and another magistrate, and these remandees were in the kick up of us? We're talking about persons in there a decade, from at least a minimum of 8 years to a decade and more.
Well, if the prisoners didn't start to riot and so on, he would have kept quiet, just as now we kept quiet with 700 killings by police, quiet with people locked up for years. I defended six policemen about a year ago who were charged for murder, allegedly killing three people in Moruga, and they remain, policemen acting in execution duty, false witnesses implicated them, and they remain locked up for 11 years before they get a trial, and they were acquitted in 30 minutes, the jury let them go. So this is a state of affairs that it is rotting at the head, and the whole body, and the judiciary is a laughing stock of people throughout the Caribbean. You see, I have nothing against this Chief Justice's private life, but you could recall what happened with somebody in a hotel and exposing jockey shorts and all sort of a thing. And those very people you are getting houses for and all these things is a scandal. And I am not saying he entitled to a private life, but don't commingle your private life with your public life and do things to bring your office into disrepute. In any other country, these Chief Justice, who have the modicum of decency in him, would have resigned. But he is bold-faced. He's not going to resign.
Senior Counsel Israel Khan, I will ask you directly here. Under the Constitution of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, is it that the Prime Minister can, in the invocation of Section 137, can the Prime Minister step in and seriously remove the Chief Justice or make recommendations to Her Excellency to have this done?
No, the Prime Minister can't do that. The Prime Minister, all he can do is cause the President to set up a tribunal to investigate whether these things are true. And if it is true, it is sufficient to remove him. The Chief Justice of a country must be protected. A Prime Minister can remove you.
Right. So if the Prime Minister that's the next question I wanted to ask you very quickly. If he refuses to do this, what is that signaling for us, and what other redress or recourse can the country get from this?
If he refuses, absolutely nothing could be done.
Wow.
The only recourse they can get, if the public feels strongly enough, when an election comes around, they will remove the Prime Minister.
Wow. So that's another 5 years.
By not voting to him. And this is the stage we reach. You see, what has happened is that the Prime Minister does not appoint a Chief Justice. The Prime Minister, this country, this is a liberal, democratic country. He does not have the power to appoint a Chief Justice. The person who appointed Chief Justice is the President of the country. The President of the country, after consultation with the Prime Minister and the leader of the opposition, in our own deliberate judgment, will decide who becomes Chief Justice. And the President is the one, since she appoints, if there is a serious allegation against him, she is the one who should be given the power to trigger the 137. So if the Prime Minister is under the Constitution, Eric Williams wanted that, the founding father of the nation wanted that, he wanted control. So that is there. So nobody could do anything.
Understood.
Absolutely nobody until they change the Constitution.
I must congratulate you on your one-man protest. That is, you stood up for what you believe is right and honorable in Trinidad and Tobago. And I must thank you for bringing this to the fore for us this morning. Are you in for one phone call at least from one of our listeners? They are eager to speak with you. Let's see who's on the line. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Khan.
Yes, sir.
Why haven't you had consultation with the head of the Law Association, then pen a letter to the Judicial and Legal and Services Commission and have an indoor meeting with them on this matter? I listen to your comments.
Yeah, what has happened? The Law Association represents all the lawyers in the country, and I am a member. All lawyers must be members of the association. The Law Association is separate and apart from the Criminal Bar Association. The Law Association has made a public statement indicating they ought to trigger 137. The lawyers of the Assembly of Attorneys in South have also said the same thing, and the Criminal Bar Association is saying the same thing, and other commentaries are saying the same thing. So they have said it, but they cannot go behind closed doors and discuss they're going to have a meeting with the Attorney General or the government and so on. They will say, why you all don't mind your own business? You have no right to let me decide this. You're already saying that.
Right, right. Well, one person is now messaging me and saying, hey, Israel can for AG. So your name in the pool. Just want you to know that.
Well, no.
David did not say Israel can.
In order to be AG of the country, what they have to be, you have to be a member of the cabinet. When you're a member of the cabinet, you must have what they call collective responsibility. They might take a decision you do not like, and you have, I do not subscribe to collective responsibility in this country, because if a cabinet is doing something, I will say something. I myself, who has said that Kamla Poussef-Bisesa is a disgrace to this country by criticizing a senior lawyer, that he's a CPEP lawyer and so on and so on. And I defend her in Emailgate. And I am supporting her for prime minister in spite of what she said.
Noted. One final call here.
David, did Mr. Israel Khan just say, morning, that Camille is not a practicing lawyer?
Yes.
Isn't she now suing Kamala for that? Statements made on a political platform?
Yes, but look,
we missed the opportunity to ask.
I am now saying in public, let her sue me. She knows she cannot sue, because if that is fair comment. The fact remains that she was an attorney and she decided to be a politician. And for all these years, she never paid for a part. She never appeared in court. So it's not a, I am not saying she's not an attorney, you know. She's not a practicing attorney.
And that is a very startling difference, because you can have a law degree, but if you did not take the bar and you didn't pay... final question to you this morning, very quickly. Because
she's an attorney, and she could be Attorney General of the country if she needs to give the cabinet advice. All she has to do is pay a senior counsel in the country. If it's a criminal matter, very complex matter, and she come to me, I will charge a reasonable fee to the government and give her opinion, or any other lawyer. And if she wants no lawyer in Trinidad, that lawyer is in the Caribbean,
right,
she could be Attorney General.
So, okay. With that being said, just walk me very quickly, because this has been something that has been talked about since she has been appointed as the Attorney General of the Republic. When you become a lawyer, give me the stages. I know you have to go to the law school to get your LLB, whatever. You have to do your little internship. Following the internship, what happens next as a lawyer in this country?
Well, once you are admitted, if you didn't come from a background of lawyers, that you associate with lawyers and you have an idea of working a law firm, or you're not a police officer, the best thing for you to do is to get a seat in a lawyer's chambers, which is established. And you take about 3 or 4 years learning the art and learning the law, or you work with the director of public prosecution or somewhere, where you take about 3 or 4 or 5 years in order to understand the criminal justice system, the legal system, and so on. You become a surgeon, you study to be a surgeon. You just don't jump into an operator room and start to operate to see whether you could transplant a man's heart or kidneys.
Right.
You have to learn.
Right. So after that, you are called to the bar?
Yes. No. You're called long before that.
Right.
After you get your LLB at the law faculty and you go to Hugh Wooden Law School and they admit you're called to the bar.
Right.
But I mean to practice. All right, let me give a good indication, and the country will know that. There are many people who are licensed drivers in this country. Many. And 95.9% of these people who got the license, they don't know how to parallel park.
Point taken. So after that, do you have to pay a fee? What is this payment to practice law in this country yearly, this annual fee?
No, you see, once you become a lawyer, automatically you are compelled to be a member of the law association.
Right.
And you have to pay a fee in order for your license to practice to be renewed.
And how often is your license renewed?
Every year.
Every year. So every year you have to renew your license to practice law in this country, and there's a fee attached.
You just renew your license. That is a subscription with the Lawyers Association in order to run the lawyer's business in the country.
So without paying this lawyer's fee, this license fee, is it that you would not be allowed to go before a judge or a magistrate?
No, you would not be allowed. You know, but it's more any breaking the law than maintaining the law. They will just say, all right, look, you'll pay your fee, why you pay your fee? Look, 2 months pass, 3 months pass. But if for 2 or 3 years or 5 or 6 years pass, they take you off the roll, and then you have to reapply again, and that's what happened to Camille.
And that's what going on with Camille Robinson-Regis.
Yes, and that happened to many, many lawyers who become politicians, who become so they don't practice.
Noted.
There was no need to practice. She was a minister of government.
Mr.
She was an all right attorney before she became a permanent politician. But that is the field she chose. So be it.
So be it. Indeed, sir. I couldn't agree with you more. It doesn't matter, because I tell people what I studied in school, if I had continued on that path, I would have been an architect today. So at the end of the day, you wanted to go down to become a lawyer. You became a lawyer, but then you choose the path of politics. It doesn't matter. You're still an attorney.
If you really, really like to be an architect, still do it. Because what will happen, you'll come to retirement and you'll decide, look, I should have done this.
Mm.
To satisfy your own self.
I thank you for that advice, Senior Counsel Israel Khan.
Yes.
And I also thank you for taking my call this morning.
Study law.
Me?
Yes, how we are analyzing the situation and so on and all that. You should study law. It helps you to really know what is hearsay evidence, what is mama guy, what is this and that and all this sort of thing. Look at the scandal of don't pay any people $1 million each.
Well, I ain't get to that point yet.
I don't comment on that. Let me leave that.
I ain't get to that point yet. That is the point I'm going to get to probably in the next hour, in the third hour, actually. But I will accept the invitation to come and speak with you in your chambers and have a word with you one-on-one, Mr. Israel Khan. And I thank you very much for taking my call very early this morning. Have yourself a great and safe day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.